Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now, the Insurance Commissioner for the state of Louisiana, Tim Temple. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell. Man, you got a great lineup today.
Yeah, it's chock full of a whole lot of interesting topics. Tim, none more interesting than insurance. I think, you know, most of the polling has showed that insurance is top of mind for everyone. I know that there are a series of bills moving through the state legislature. Give us an update.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, and Newell, you're right. I mean, every poll I see still shows that insurance is the top concern for all of our citizens, no matter where you live in Louisiana. And we've had a busy week. We had several bills, about half a dozen bills, have made it through the process of, you know, the chamber that they originated in, going through their committees, and now over to the opposite chamber. So we've got several bills sitting coming up next week, it looks like, potentially for House votes, and several bills for Senate votes. And those bills are the Fair Claims Bill, which you've heard me talk about, to bring some clarity and understanding to the claims process. There's the three-year rule bill, which we've had several conversations about. There's a file and use bill that's making its way through the process. And then also one removing the sunset clause for the fortified roofing program, so that program will continue you know, for as long as it's needed and not have an artificial, you know, expiration date.
The process usually allows amendments to bills. Has anything occurred that have somewhat fundamentally changed what you were trying to accomplish?
No, there's not. We've, you know, a lot of the members have, I mean, I say a lot, you know, obviously a majority have been working with us to make sure that we, you know, we keep the bills intact to do, you know, what they were originally drafted, which is to help shape Louisiana into, you know, into a state that insurance companies want to come and do business in. And the bills have remained largely intact. There were some, you know, there's been some minor technical changes and that kind of thing, but nothing that alters the intent of the bills.
Obviously, we're sending a message to the insurance markets. Had to renew a policy for one of our family members the other day, and we were told still no new entrants in Jefferson Parish admitted carriers writing. What are you seeing in other areas throughout the state?
You know, there have been no new carriers, you know, in Louisiana. And look, I don't anticipate there will be until we make these changes. I mean, these changes were based, you know, came from conversations with the insurance industry. It came from conversations with consumers and with consumer protection folks. So, you know, everyone acknowledges that there is a crisis. And you know, a lot of people like to try and point fingers and just say that it's the weather and that's all it is. And that's simply not the case. And, you know, by trying to just point it out as the weather. They're not acknowledging that, you know, they're blaming our current situation on storms, solely on storms. And we've got to acknowledge we are a highly litigious state. You know, we've got to acknowledge that our properties are closer to the Gulf, so we need to start constructing, you know, more resilient homes and buildings. And all of these bills are designed to tackle, you know, this, you know, numerous issues that our state has. There is no one single silver bullet to any of this, and we've got to work on a united front. And, you know, I'm very pleased that, you know, the legislature and the governor and many others has helped support the property reform.
What would you consider a success as it relates a year post implementation of these bills as to how many number of new insurers we have in our market?
Well, look, I think that what the success would be that new insurance companies start to go through the application process within the department. And obviously we'll have, you know, we'll have transparency on that, and we'll be able to identify as new companies file and want to come back. But the other thing, Newell, is that the companies, you know, we can't forget the companies that are current, that still are in Louisiana and still doing business, and, you know, that have been here for decades and supported the local communities. And, you know, they bought the right reinsurance levels, and they had the proper reserves so that they were financially solvent. And, you know, all of this is also designed to help lower the reinsurance cost, because that gets passed directly to us as the consumer. And the reinsurance cost is a major driver of a lot of these cost increases. Again, because of the fact that, you know, the policies in Louisiana. I mean, I don't know if you've read the article this morning, but the one I saw this morning, it was an opinion in the Advocate. It's showing data that, you know, home property writers in Louisiana are 12 times more likely to be litigated against than the rest of the nation. So we've got to lower the exposure so that the prices come down. And look, a lot of people would just like to push back and say, well, that's not consumer protection. And that's there's nothing further from the truth than that statement, because the consumer still has the ability to be protected through the legal process at the end of a claim period when, you know, they've done everything that they were supposed to do. And if the company didn't pay them properly or didn't pay them timely, there's always going to be a legal recourse for the consumer.
But does that really surprise you, though, that number? I mean, because when we have a hurricane come through, typically the number of homes damaged within a square mile, let's just use that as the measurement, is far greater in the aftermath of a hurricane than it is on almost every other storm that's out there, to include tornadoes. If you have more claims being made, the percentage of those claims that actually end up in litigation typically are higher as well. I get what you're saying, but I think that there's probably a fairly rational explanation for that, because what you know and I know is that a number of insurance companies are stretched to the max as it relates to adjusters. They're not only in-house adjusters, they're having to outsource that adjusting. They bring protocols, practices, and customs that may be very different. I've seen it as a claimant, you know, and it leads to issues. I mean, I think we got to get off the surface and dig down a little deeper before we attack a litigant's rights to fight for what they believe that they're due. I sit on a public board where we have been fighting with our insurance company for a couple of years now. And the reality is it's a conglomerate of seven different underwriters that each have a participation percentage in this policy. All but two have agreed to a settlement a long time ago. We've been fighting with the two that have a small percentage of the risk in this thing, you know, and trying to get through wanting to go to mediation or whatever it may be. No desire on their part. Well, we just finally got it resolved after 2 years. I can trust you. Trust me when I tell you, I would much rather not have gone to litigation. And in fact, In our particular case, the consultant we hired was one who works for the insurance companies. So it wasn't even like there was this home cooking from a litigant standpoint. And it was just mind-boggling to me. There was no question of liability, no question, really, of damages. And you know, a two-year process had to go to litigation. I mean, I could point to just as many of those cases. So what's the alternative? That we just take less than? Well, that's not a reasonable alternative. And I don't think anybody's suggesting that
anyone take less than.
No, that's not what I mean. But what I'm saying is I think we jump to conclusions relative to that, and we don't really dig down and peel the layers of the onion back as to why we are where we are a lot of times with litigation. And that's
what's being attempted in this session right now, because a lot of these bills that are working through the system are addressing, as you say, and things that we have peeled back the onion to get into it. And look, numbers are numbers. And if you look at the historical litigation ratio, start with Katrina, because that's most people in the state still have that date, you know, firmly in their mind. But after Katrina, all the way up to Hurricane Laura, the litigation ratio of number of claims that were litigated, it was 1%, was right around 1%. And then with Laura, it jumped to 8.8%. And then Delta, it was 6%. And Zeta, it was somewhere around 2%. And then Ida, it was 7%. 7% of all the claims were litigated from a historical ratio of 1%. Why is that? It's not because insurance companies, I don't think that there's any demonstration that insurance companies just decided to pick Louisiana out of all the places that they do business with to say, you know, we're going to handle claims unfairly. It's because the Louisiana laws, and that's what these bills are addressing, allow people to litigate frivolously. And look, I understand if you think that you weren't treated fairly, but there's a difference between thinking that you weren't treated fairly and being able to prove that you weren't. And the Fair Claims Bill, we're trying to work on the claimant experience, the experience that you have with your insurance company. And the Fair Claims Bill is designed to help put heat, put transparency, put accountability on the insurance company as well as the claimant, so that there is a justifiable process, one that's more clearly understood by both parties, so that you know what the expectation is as a claimant when you file that claim, but the insurance company also knows what the expectation is on their behalf to make sure that they pay that claim timely and accurately. And that's what we've got to get back to. I mean, there is no reason that Louisiana should be the most litigated state. But that's what the numbers are showing, Louisiana and Florida. And if you look at the laws, it's because it's easier to litigate in both states.
And I would like to know how many in those storms, because the ones that you had the highest numbers were also the ones of the highest intensity, having gone through this in Mississippi with a piece of property that we own there in the aftermath of Katrina. We ended up having to go to litigation because it became a battle between flood and wind. And everybody was hiring their experts. And, you know, we're still feeling the effects of that because the wind policy insurers were pushing everything off to flood. And it became, as you well know, it was a mess. It was a cluster. And
right.
no one was able, legislators and
departments of insurance, the regulators, to work to continually update and modify laws so that they're evolving. Because yeah, you're right. After Katrina, I mean, wind, flood. There was, I mean, a lot of people made a lot of money litigating off of that, and the consumer at the end of the day didn't get a whole lot from it. So, you know, we've got to get back and focus on making sure that the money, there's a process set so that the consumer, the claimant, gets the money that they're owed timely and accurately. That's the focus here.
Oh, it should be. But, I mean, that's not the way it worked out. I mean,
I can't do anything about Katrina and Rita, but I mean, I'm certainly
January 8th, I'm focused on what the claimant is going to be
for the next storm that we have.
When we say why or where we are, it's based on previous experience. That's why. And, you know, a lot of people did not have a good experience coming out of Katrina and Rita. And a lot of people were down and out in Beverly Hills and had to wait a long, long time to get their issues resolved. And they weren't resolved until there was litigation because it was delay, 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 delay. And it wasn't until the state stepped in and coordinated a path and a process by which people would have an opportunity to be heard and to compel insurers to sit down with folks, because everyone knew that if the water reached the bottom 2 feet of your home, but your roof was gone, that the flood didn't cause the loss of the roof. But we were arguing over that point. And, you know, these are the things that we don't spend more time talking about. You know, and I make this observation all the time. Damage to my house in Hurricane Katrina. Something scraped the entire front of my house. The house had to be repainted. Originally, they only wanted to pay to repaint the front section of the house. Well, how does that work? The house was painted 8 years prior to that. That's not going to match the rest of the house. You go to the policy language suggests the whole house should be painted. 60 days arguing over that provision. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. This most recent storm, a good friend of mine's house lost one brick wall, damaged the brick. The other three sides of the house, the brick was salvaged. They don't make that brick anymore. The insurer's solution was put any brick you want up there and paint the house. Well, that's not what they want. They have a replacement policy. They want a brick house. They want a color of brick. They don't want a painted brick house. That's not what they insured. 2 years to solve that issue. 2 years. Now, you tell me, are these egregious asks of insureds of an insurance company? But these are real-life anecdotal stories, and they all went, you know, we were headed to litigation. They finally ate a smart pill. Right after I told them I'm a lawyer and it's going to cost me nothing. So my recovery, I'm not giving up 33 or 40%. I'm going to get it all. So just know that. And my wife's a lawyer as well. So we can tee it up anytime y'all want to tee it up. And then all of a sudden, they settled. They paid for the painting of the remainder of the house, which is what should have been done, and there shouldn't have been an argument about it. But these are these anecdotal stories that more and more and more people don't want to talk about it. I mean, I don't understand what leg they have to stand on in those issues. And we jump to an abuse. I don't know about you, but I don't characterize that as an abuse. Would you?
Look, no, like you said, past performance is what has gotten to where we are today. And where we are today is that insurance companies are choosing not to do business in the state of Louisiana. And the ones that are still here are charging what they deem is risk appropriate, premium appropriate to the risk. What I'm hearing as Commissioner of Insurance, and what you hear is, you know, from your listeners and your friends and your neighbors and yourself, is that the current premiums are unaffordable. If we want to address that, we can talk about all the litigation that's taken place in years past, but if we want to address the number one problem right now is that people are unable to afford the insurance they're getting, then we've got to change the shape of Louisiana and promote it so that companies want to come back in. And like I said, not one single one of these bills is a silver bullet. It's a combination of all of these. And it does require some change. And if we just want to continue to just status quo and not change laws, then I don't think we should expect any different outcome.
Well, I mean, it's going to be premature, but I get asked this question all the time, and I would ask you, what state is this actually working in? What state can we point to that has appreciably cheaper premiums with maybe similarly situated risk factors that our state has that these remedial measures have actually delivered something?
Well, if you look at the reform that has been that has taken place recently, and Florida is the most recent, they had over the last 2 years, they've had several sessions, legislative sessions dealing with insurance reform. They now have companies coming back to Florida. They have new companies coming in, bringing new capacity. That means ability to write premium. And they also have current companies that are having additional capacity. So reform works in Florida.
If well, that's one longer, part of the equation. At what rate, at what average rate? I was visiting with a friend in Florida the other day who's trying to sell his house. He can't sell his house because he doesn't have a fortified roof. So now he's in the process of putting a $45,000 fortified roof on his property that he's not going to be able to recapture in the sale of the home. And yet, even with the fortified roof, he's not going to get a significant reduction in the cost of his homeowner's policy that he currently has.
So at what price? Is that the question?
Yeah, I mean, if we get 10 more insured, but the price doesn't appreciably go down, have we really accomplished much? I think it's a legitimate question.
I'm not going to sit here and say we shouldn't do anything. I mean, we have got to.
No.
Every day we need to be trying to do everything that we can to help.
And Tim, I'm not arguing that point.
And it may not help some others.
But I think there are those out there that
do anything.
I think there are those out there creating unrealistic expectations. And that's why I asked the question, what state has new insurers and appreciably less? Because everyone believes that what we're doing, they're believing in you right now, and what we're doing, and that's the two outcomes they're looking for, more insurers and the premium base to be appreciably less. So I think it's a legitimate question.
We have to start
is that happening?
We have to start with the more insurers, which is what this reform is focused on, is bringing additional capacity to current companies and new companies. You have to start with that. And I think that talking about unrealistic expectations, there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, just don't change anything. That in a couple of years, if we don't have hurricanes, things should return to normal. And that is an extremely unrealistic expectation because we have no control over the weather. We do have control over the regulations and the laws that we all have to follow.
No, I don't disagree with you. I don't think it's an option to do nothing. But, you know, as I talk to people about this, this is a number one top of mind issue. Folks really are believing in 2 years things are going to appreciably change. I just don't happen to be one of those people. I think it's going to move a lot slower than that. And, you know, and I think people are banking on this really delivering something with some immediacy. And I just don't see that either. Let me just finish this point because this is not your fault. I mean, you know, we have an inflationary market right now. You know as well as I, you know, to go repair a home costs a hell of a lot more today than it did 10 years ago because of inflation.
Sure.
And you have no control over that. But obviously, you know, we've got a confluence of a number of different factors that are making these expectations even harder to achieve. And they're even more outside of the control of an insurance commissioner or a governor or anybody else, quite frankly, right?
And that's right. I mean, there are a lot of contributing factors to it. But again, you know, that's where I am focused on what we can control, what I can control.
Right.
And that is working with the legislature to create regulations and laws that help promote Louisiana in, as an attractive place so that we can get companies back, because that's also a contributing factor. The more competition you have, then the more downward pressure you have on premiums. Someone's going to want to write your house. If you have 10 companies that want to give you a quote, you're going to pick one of them, and it's probably not going to be the most expensive. So someone's got to win out of that. When you only have two companies writing in an area, you're not going to have that type of downward pressure. So that's what we're getting to, and that's the focus, is to bring competition back. And you're right. Anyone that expects any type of, you know, next 6 month, victory on this, that's not a realistic expectation. It does take time, which is why it's all the more important that we affect these changes now so we can start that clock ticking for change, toward change. And the longer we wait and the longer we delay, then the longer it's going to take for those changes to make a positive impact.
You and I are closer on these issues than one might think, but I hear these things. I want to challenge the thought, and I appreciate the fact that you stayed clued in and you're working hard each and every day. Please, I would be remiss if I didn't say that.
No, look, I appreciate it. And look, this is the kind of good dialogue that we need to have, because I think, look, people, I get it. People are extremely stressed. They're stressed financially. I mean, there are people making bad decisions, you know, going without insurance because of the affordability. And that probably keeps, if there's something that keeps me up at night, it's the fact that you've got people that do not have that financial protection, because they can't afford it right now. I want to make sure that we have a marketplace that people can afford insurance. And, you know, I also need to say, you know, before, and I don't know what our time is, and I'm not saying I got to go, but, we did have the tornadoes, you know, that struck Slidell April 10th. And, you know, right now from my office, I think initial claim count that's been reported to us, it's somewhere around over 4,000 claims have been filed. Now, that doesn't mean 4,000 properties have been damaged. But it does mean that, you know, 4,000 people think or suspect they may have had damage, and that's a big issue over there. And I wanted to just let your listeners know that the department is engaged with local and parish leadership over there to make sure that we have the right resources if people have claims or questions on their claims.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that as well. Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Noah. Look forward to next time.
All right. It's Tim Temple, the insurance commissioner for the state of Louisiana. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.